With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hub Arkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score's senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend with the first place Chicago Wolves. Friday night at 7 is the final Craft Beer Arena Crawl Night, and Saturday is Toboggan Hat Giveaway Night, courtesy of Jewel Osco. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for ticket information. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He of Pro Football Weekly and 670 The Score joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s for $229 a month. Hello, Hub.
How you doing, guys?
Wonderful. What do we know about HaHa Clinton Dix and the Bears' rumored pursuit of the safety?
Well, we know that there are conversations. We know that, or we believe we know that he has been here in town. And I suspect it's about the money, because I would think at this point that with Clinton Dix, you want a one-year prove-it deal. You know, maybe you go 2 years. I would certainly give him the deal that the Packers gave Adrian Amos and consider that an upgrade and a win. But I just don't know cap-wise if the Bears are there that they want to do that. So I do think it's encouraging that they had him come to town. And I know the Redskins want him back. I would think if I was him and the money was anywhere near close, that I'd much rather be in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows?
Do you like him?
I do. I thought it was ludicrous when they traded him. They didn't just let him go. Yeah. But I didn't understand what the Packers were doing. They had a need at the position. I know that they've, I don't want to say the Packers have kind of pushed this, but there's a narrative out there that he had slipped and he was bad in coverage and he was late. None of it's true. You look at the tape. I don't know if he's played to the Pro Bowl level that he did his first few years in the league, the last year and a half or so. But he still is a well above average safety in the NFL. And what you love about him, he's kind of like Jackson. He's actually a little bit bigger. He can play free or strong. You know, the Bears will tell you that their safeties are interchangeable. They don't really have a free or a strong safety. But I think it'd be a really nice, you know, matchup with Eddie Jackson. Now, I think I'm the only one in town. I haven't heard anybody else saying it. I'm not concerned about going to camp with Deion Bush in that spot. You know, he's never become anything special. I didn't think he played horribly, you know, last year when Jackson got hurt in relief of him. I think next to Jackson, he's that much better. I would prefer to see them get the Clinton Dix deal done, but I don't think safety is a top priority at this point unless they can get a quality player like a Clinton Dix.
What about pass rusher then? We're looking at Aaron Lynch being an unrestricted free agent here. Wanted to know what you thought about the safety depth, but as you've said, you're fine with Bush and Houston Carson, I guess, perhaps? So does that mean you're looking for another rusher?
Yeah, Houston Carson is probably gone. They did not tender him. He's a free agent. That doesn't mean he won't be back. They can still bring him back at the minimum. But again, you know, they're going to draft some guys. They've got some people that were on the practice squad last year. I think one guy in particular who I know fascinates them is Michael Joseph. Now, he is a cornerback, and I don't even know if he qualifies in the slot. I don't think you'd want him over at safety. But they've got some other options. You got Sherrick McManus for one more year. You know, he stepped in. Sherrick McManus played fairly well at the nickel, which he's really not suited to do. If he did have to step in and play some safety, you know, not as a starter on a long-term basis, you'd be okay there. So I think definitely, you know, your biggest concerns at this point with what they've done so far have become one more pass rusher, another tight end, and more competition at the running back spot.
How concerned should the Bears be over the Packers beefing up as they have?
I don't think they should be concerned at all. I think, you know, you worry about your football team, you realize where you're at, and beyond that cliche, Dan, I know why you're asking the question. I'm not wild about what the Packers have done. I mean, you know, they've spent a lot of money, and Brian Gutekunst is in free agency where the Packers haven't been in 12, 13 years. But take a little deeper look at those deals. I mean, you know, Za'Darius Smith in 4 years has 24 sacks. He got 8.5 last year. But the Ravens, who've been absolutely devastated by losses on their defense, didn't want to bring him back. You know, and then you look at Preston Harris, another kid, interesting, you know, athlete. I think he could be a good football player, but he's never had more than 4.5 sacks in a season. These are the two guys that they're going to put on the edge to replace Nick Perry and Clay Matthews. And this is a team that was, eighth in total sacks last year. So, I mean, I'm not knocking the signings. I think they badly overpaid for both of them. But I just don't know that they're instantly better, you know, and particularly Za'Darius Smith. You look at what was around him. You know, that had a lot to do, I think, with some of his production. And then Adrian Amos, listen, I love the kid, and I think he's a decent safety. But that's what he is. He's a decent safety. I mean, he's, as I just said, I'd rather have Clinton Dix, who they just got rid of. You know, they signed Billy Turner. He's a journeyman backup offensive lineman. So Packers are making news, but I want to wait and see. Za'Darius Smith kind of reminds me of a healthy Pernell McPhee. You don't worry about the knees as much, but the signing kind of feels like that to me. I don't know that he's going to be the next big thing.
What's Cordarrelle Patterson do for you, Hub?
I love that signing, Connor. I and not because, you know, he's a, you know, all pro or he's going to change the face of the Chicago Bears, but he gives you so many things, and he's a perfect fit for what Matt Nagy wants to do. First of all, they were dead last in the NFL in kickoff returns last year, 32nd in kickoff return average. Forget the debate over whether you should take the touchback or return the kick. You're going to return some kicks, and a lot of teams are now getting into the strategy of purposely kicking to the 5 or the 3 to make you return the kick. So now you've got, I don't think it's an argument, the best kickoff returner in the league over the last 4 or 5 years. He hasn't led the league every year, but you look at his production over the last 4 or 5 years. So, A, you fix that. But, B, you know, this is a guy who can take the top off a defense at wide receiver on any moment. And no, he's never going to be a starting wide receiver. I don't think you'd want him as your 3, but as a 4, you saw what he did for the Patriots. And then you look at the way that Belichick used him from the running back position and what, you know, Matt Nagy can do and have fun with there. So the Bears' desire was to get faster and more explosive, and they got arguably the fastest, most explosive player in free agency.
Talking Bears and NFL with Hub Arkush on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score on this Pi Day. By the way, the Detroit Pistons Pi jerseys are just
top-notch.
They replaced the PI in Pistons with the Pi symbol, and I imagine they're actually going to wear them, so it's actually very, very cool. We just had Ian Rappaport on, and he mentioned that the Bears are a very popular place among free agents. And he said it's because of the vibe being exuded now by Matt Nagy specifically and Ryan Pace, and that they're gaining a reputation around the league as straight shooters, as telling, of being honest with guys, keeping things simple. This is really refreshing, Hub, if in fact the Bears are, just because of the force of this guy's personality, that the Bears are getting that kind of positive rep.
There's no question about it, Dan, and I think we have to add to that, yes, a ton of that is a credit to Matt Nagy, but I think it's even more impressive from Ryan Pace, because, and we talked about this a couple times over the years, it was never really a focus. I just never got the feeling that he was comfortable with John Fox, because that's who Ryan Pace is. I mean, kind of the ultimate all business, straight shooter, going to be, you know, a great, you know, home for you as long as you fit and you want to be a great tenant, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously that wasn't John Fox. And the fact that Pace rushed out to make sure he got Nagy, and I think some of it was realizing that he was this kind of guy and this culture that they're building together, it doesn't surprise me at all. But the other piece that you have to add, and this is the part that's going to take a little while for Bears fans to get used to, they have one of the most talented young rosters in the NFL. They look like a team that is going to contend for the next few years. They're in the third biggest market in the NFL. The stadium is nothing special, but when they finish that facility, it's going to be one of the best facilities in the NFL. You know what they're doing out in Lake Forest. And so they got everything working for them right now. Now, all of that said, guys, this can go south quick if Mitch Trubisky doesn't become what we need him to be. And when I say we, I mean Bears fans. Obviously, I'm not part of the team. But for right now, their arrow is really pointing up, you know, and so you can get upset if you want that the Lions and the Packers are making these big money moves, you know, and the Vikings haven't really done anything except keep their own guy. But I think Pace is approaching free agency even more wisely this year than he did last year. He's cherry picking spots on that roster. He's finding really nice fits who minimally are not going to be downgrades and are probably upgrades. And I think they're aware that they're already pretty good. And I think the big thing here beyond Trubisky is that there's a half a dozen kids I can rattle off who were very good last year who are going to be better this year. And so that's where this team is pointed.
Hub, we heard a little bit of noise around Le'Veon Bell and the Bears when they created the cap space. It turned out to not really much be a thing, but we didn't hear a lot about either Marcus Engram or Tevin Coleman or Latavius Murray to a much lesser degree. Should the Bears have been a little involved on that? Were they down on any of these guys?
Or do they think Mike Davis is the guy? I mean, is it possible they think he's way better than we're assessing?
It's possible, Dan, but I doubt it. They're too smart for that. I mean, you got to be realistic about who Mike Davis is. I mean, he's a four-year veteran who was a fourth-round pick who couldn't earn playing time over Sean Drone with the 49ers and then got to the Seahawks and couldn't take that position in 2 years when it was wide open. Now, he did have a couple nice starts in 17, and he had some nice fill-in spots last year. But clearly what he has been through his first 4 years in the NFL is a big upgrade over the combination of Benny Cunningham and Taequann Mizell. The idea that he's a better option than Jordan Howard just because of his style, if you want to ignore the fact that he hasn't done anything in 4 years while Jordan Howard has been the third most productive running back in the league the last three, that doesn't make sense. And I don't see the Bears doing anything that doesn't make sense. So I think they like Mike Davis. I think that he can help them in a lot of ways. I think they'd be okay if he had to start a few games, you know, due to injury to the starter. But I don't think they're done yet. And I think that they're going to address this in the draft for sure. I think that they may address it with another veteran free agent. And I think people need to start considering the possibility that Jordan Howard will be in Bourbon A. And you know, there's this, I know I've built a reputation as the Jordan Howard lover and the defender. Guys, I get he's not a good fit for the offense. And I get that they're going to move on, if not this year, next year, because I don't see him getting another contract here. But he's still the best running back in Chicago. And I think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are smart enough to know until you have a better one, you know, why would you give him away? Now, if somebody wants to blow him away and offer him a second round pick or a 3 and a 4 or something like that, you know, you probably do it. But they've already turned down a 3, you know, so or that was, you know, late last season.
You know that for sure?
Well, I mean, that multiple sources are reporting it. No, I can't. Ryan Pace didn't tell me that. So nor would he answer me if I asked him. So, you know, but pretty good sources say that, yes, that in fact did happen during the season last year.
With the Browns, we had Todd call in just the other day to crow a little bit. He said he missed you, but the Browns have made themselves a destination by trade, by free agency, by all kinds of savvy. What are your expectations for that team?
You know, Connor, I don't want to cop out, but I really don't have a clue because Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach at any level, been a coordinator for one season. Steve Wilk actually wasn't the defensive coordinator in Carolina. You know, he was Ron Rivera's assistant head coach. He had a disastrous one and done as a head coach in Arizona. The left tackle is one of the biggest busts in the history of the draft. They decided that they can make Greg Robinson a left tackle when the Rams and the Lions didn't even want him on their roster. The right side of the offensive line is not very good either. The defensive line is upgraded with Sylvester Richardson, but still mediocre. Linebackers are good, but a bunch of unknowns. This is still not a special football team, and I get all the excitement and all the hype. They do have some potential difference makers. And I love Baker Mayfield. You know that. I felt he absolutely needed to be the number one pick last year. But they got work to do. And I got to tell you guys, you know, the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, we'll talk about the Giants winning that trade. People can pile on Dave Gettleman all they want, and I don't know if Gettleman's any good at what he does or not. But Odell Beckham Jr., you know, the first thing you throw out is, well, how many games did the Giants win with him in 5 years? But then you got to stop and say, okay, he's just one player. He's just a wide receiver. We're not going to blame him for the whole thing. They did have the one playoff run. But then you look at the issues, the distractions, the aggravation weighed against the production. What reason does anybody have to believe that OBJ is going to be any different in Cleveland than he was in New York? There are certain players that I don't care how good they are. I don't particularly want them in my locker room. Brandon Marshall was always one of those guys for very different reasons. And to me, Beckham Jr. is going to have, he's not that kind of guy. He's not the problem that Marshall is. But I think that's kind of the impact he's going to have with his NFL career. So, people can laugh all they want about Jabril Peppers, but he's 23 years old and he's not a bad football player. He may still be fairly good. You get another one and a three. That's a huge haul for a wide receiver. So I just think people are way overreacting to the Browns. Now, that division is weaker, and they could very well win the division and go to the playoffs. But the idea that that they now have lower Super Bowl odds than the Bears?
Yes. Yeah, saw that.
It's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. Here's the really bizarre thing. I did the Sports Talk live show over at NBC Sports last night, and their question of the night was, which roster would you rather have right now, the Cleveland Browns or the Chicago Bears? Now, this is NBC Sports Chicago. The vote was 81% Cleveland. Are you kidding me? Would either of you take the Browns roster over the Bears?
No.
Of course not. I mean, it's absurd.
No.
So
you're tantalized by the top end.
Yeah.
But the total, if you're actually looking at the construction of the entire roster and understanding that most seasons aren't defined until after you've lost a couple of your stars, the answer is the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, I am a big John Dorsey fan, and I am not, I'm not knocking anything they've done other than the Beckham trade. I do think they're vastly improved and that division is changing. But I think the buzz is way over the top. Sorry, Todd, but the buzz is way over the top right now.
Cody Parkey officially released. They said they were going to do it. And I know there's no way to really criticize how they work the kicker position other than after the fact, because even the smartest and most experienced people tell you, you don't really know how to find a kicker. You can have every competition in the world and written exams and everything you want, and the person that emerges and quote-unquote wins might also suck when the lights are on. You just don't know. That said, it appears they're going to accrue a bunch of kickers, accrete or accrue, whatever they're doing. They're going to have a bunch of guys, and then they're going to try to sort them out. Do you know anything about the actual process or how they're trying to at least inform themselves of how to get out of this particular hamster wheel?
Well, I think the special teams meeting room, I doubt there is a place kickers room, will have a revolving door on it, all summer. You've got Redford Jones and Chris Blewett here now. They'll probably bring in a few more younger veteran free agents. They just can't spend a lot of money on one, not at least until next year because of where they're at cap-wise with that dead money from Parkey. But I think they'll bring in a bunch of legs. They'll try and decide which one's the most explosive, which one has the best mechanics, because you really can't predict the accuracy until they get out and do it in games. And I think what everybody has to remember here is that this has happened at one time or another to every team in the National Football League. The Bears' mistake was not the Cody Parkey signing, it was cutting Robbie Gould for all the wrong reasons. That's where this, if you want to find fault, that's where it lies. But what they're going through now is it's unfortunate. It obviously cost them at least one more playoff game, but the problem itself is just not, it's very common in the NFL.
Does the fact that you've got some money left over, just a little bit after you've cleared up the 11 from Khalil Mack by converting some money there, we had speculated that maybe that's a Cody Whitehair extension, maybe some of that money's tagged for that. Is that off the table come summer now with the expenditures they've already put down?
No, it's a moving target this time of year. You don't have to be under the cap. I think it's some date in June, and it's based on your top 51. But we haven't, we think we know the details of the four deals they've done. We really don't know the details. I'm not totally sure where they're at cap-wise right now. I believe, as I've tried to do all this math playing the flashcard game as it keeps changing, I think that they're probably at around 13 or 14 million right now. Normally you need to save 5 million for your rookie pool, but since they will not, well, at least at the moment, looks like they won't have first or second round picks, they probably only need about 2.7 million there. And you can't go into the season. You don't want to go into the season with no cap space. So they do still have to sign a punter, a long snapper. They got other people to sign. I think that they could maneuver. They've also got more room to maneuver. They could certainly do something similar with the Allen Robinson and Kyle Fuller contracts as to what they did with Khalil Mack. The danger you get into there, though, is that you don't want to push too much down the road, or you make even a worse problem for yourself when you may need the cap space more. But I think what they can do, Connor, is that they can fill out the needs. I think they could make one more starter-type move, as long as it wasn't terribly expensive, get a Clinton Dix, and then still go into the season with enough money to be able to sign people if they have injuries, or possibly in October you redo a deal. Whitehair is the only one you really have to redo. You can start to think about Eddie Jackson. You might want to redo Roy Robertson Harris if he continues to take a step forward, Isaiah Irving. But you're overthinking it if you plan that far ahead.
You mentioned long snapper, and I noticed they let Patrick Scales go. Was his work substandard? Did I miss something? I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that they would need to upgrade long snapper.
No, and again, when we say they let these guys go, they didn't let them go. They just didn't tender them. There's a very important distinction there, because if you tender them, you're committed to a much higher salary than the minimum. And particularly at a position like a long snapper, they'll go out and look. They might very well bring him back, and they might save $300,000-$500,000 by the fact that they're signing him again as opposed to having tendered him. I don't know that's what they're thinking, but that's likely. I know people turn their nose up at a couple $100,000 when you have $188 million cap, but it all piles up, and you got to save it wherever you can. I'm not sure that DeAndre Houston Carson won't be back, but what they chose to do is let them test the free agent market and said that we're not going to sign him at anything but a bargain price.
Hub, when we talked about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago, something like that, you were pretty adamant in reminding people that Ryan Pace has a history of being aggressive when it comes to the NFL draft. And you mentioned just a couple minutes ago that while they don't have a pick in the first or second round now, maybe that changes. Does free agency tell you one thing or another about how aggressive Ryan Pace might be in this coming draft? Is that just going to be based on the players available?
It's looking to me now. We're talking about Clinton Dix because he's a known name. He's a former Eddie Jackson teammate. I think they had 1 year where they were on the roster together. He's been to Pro Bowls. It would be great to steal a Packer after they stole a Bear. All of that aside, I think they have a bigger need for one more pass rusher than they do to sign Clinton Dix. If they don't sign another veteran pass rusher, I think what happens is in the first and second round of the draft, they're looking at the running backs and they're looking at the edge rushers, and they're watching how they come off the board. And they're going to have one or two guys at each position that they've identified. And if one of them is still sitting there, middle, late second round, and you've still got these two second round picks next year, you got plenty of capital to move. I think that's where, he starts to make trades. As far as aggressive as he's been in recent years, no, he won't be that aggressive because now he's got a playoff team. He doesn't have a bottom of the, standings team. But I do think there's a good chance that he'll still make some moves if there are certain players that they've identified on their draft board who they are pleasantly surprised to see are still there at a point that they can trade up, but they don't think they'll be there at 87.
Hub, thank you, as always. Great.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Hub Arkish talking football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.